Good morning and welcome again to Words of Faith, and thank you for tuning in to the broadcast today. We're glad to have you listening, and it's a joy and an honor to be able to study the Bible with you today. We hope that you have your own Bible ready to turn to Luke chapter 15. We're going to begin in Luke chapter 12, verse 16, and we're going to be talking about the story of the rich fool. Now, in Luke chapter 12, we're looking at a story here that began with a man coming to Jesus out of the crowd. And he wanted Jesus to do something for him. He didn't want Jesus to heal him like many did. He didn't want to ask Jesus a Bible question like many did. He wanted Jesus to talk to his brother. And he said, "I want you to talk to my brother so that he will divide the inheritance with me." This man and his brother had gotten into it over an inheritance. The will had been set. Their father had died, evidently. And the inheritance had been left, but this man felt that he had not gotten his fair share. And so he wanted Jesus to intervene. Now, Jesus refused to do that because he said, "I'm not in that position. I'm not a judge or a divider." But what Jesus did was to warn about having the wrong attitude toward money. You see, today, folks, in this broadcast, we're going to be talking about money. There are a lot of radio programs and there are a lot of TV shows that talk about money as we speak. But we're not going to be talking about money the way the world talks about it and the way that many people want to hear it. We're going to be talking about money from the standpoint of Jesus Christ on teaching. Jesus Christ, a man who, though he was rich in heaven, became poor for our sakes, the Bible says. A man that the Bible says had not a place to lay his head. Jesus Christ is going to teach us about money here in Luke chapter 12, beginning in verse 16. Here's the story. In Luke 12, verse 16, "And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." Now here's a rich man who got even richer. You see, this is not a story about a man who started off without a lot of money and then he became rich. The Bible calls him a rich man to begin with. In verse 16, "The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully." This happens sometimes in life where a rich man becomes even richer. Now some of his success was no doubt because of his shrewdness and because of his hard work. But much of his success in getting even wealthier was due to circumstances beyond his control. Things like his life, his health, his good mind, the weather that allowed him to prosper in this way, peaceful conditions in the land. Folks, all of these conditions and circumstances were outside of his control. He didn't choose these things. He didn't cause these things. He certainly did not earn these things. And yet, without all of these circumstances, he would have been just as poor as anybody else. You see, back in the Old Testament, God warned the Israelite people that when they went into the promised land and they began to build and to prosper there, he said, "Don't forget God, because it is he that gives you power to get wealth." So when a man becomes wealthy, it is only because of the grace of God in letting him live and letting him have the health that he does and allowing him to have the circumstances and the opportunities that he has to become wealthy to begin with. You could take that same man who is wealthy and put him in other conditions in other parts of the world and he'd be just as poor as anybody else. You could take him and put him in a body that's not healthy and give him a mind that's not as shrewd and as cunning and as businesslike as this man's was, and that man would not have the wealth that he had. So there are many factors that are outside of our control and are beyond our choosing that contribute to the well-being and the state of our lives. But this man did not even acknowledge God in what he had to enjoy. The Bible says in verse 17 that after he had gotten this good crop, after he became even wealthier, in verse 17 he thought within himself, saying, "What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits." Now you see, if he had been the right kind of man, he would have said, "I need to share some of this with poor people. Where am I going to find those poor people, and who do I need to give some of this to?" If he'd have been the right kind of man, he would have said, "God, thank you for what you've done. You have given me not only what I had before, but you've given me even more now. And I'm going to make sure that I glorify you. I'm going to make sure that I give back to you, first of all, what I believe that you're due, and I'm going to share what you've given me with other people who are not as fortunate as I am." But he did not even recognize God. He didn't even mention God, and he certainly didn't thank God. What he decided to do was to expand. The Bible says in verse 18, "And he said, 'This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater,'" that is, bigger barns, "'and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods.'" So he decided to build a retirement that would never be depleted. He could sell enough grain to get by and to live comfortably for the rest of his life. He and his family could eat this grain. They could live off of what he had attained and what he had accumulated for the rest of their lives. This man had arrived at a point where he didn't have to work anymore. Now he thinks, "I can relax." The Bible says in verse 19 that he said, "And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry.'" He had no worries at this point. Money was not an issue. And folks, why is it that people think like this? Why is it that people think, "Well, if I only had this much money, if I had this amount of money saved up, I'd have it made. I wouldn't have to worry about anything, and I could just relax and take it easy for the rest of my life." That is one of the biggest lies the devil has ever told, and it works very well for him because most people swallow it without question. And I want you to notice something else here, folks. This man that we're talking about did not say, "I'm going to drink and carouse my life away. I'm going to live a wild party kind of life for the rest of my days." He had no plans like that. He didn't say that. He just said that he was going to take it easy. And notice that he said that he had it made for many years. Now, folks, let me say here also that there's nothing wrong with wanting to relax. There's nothing wrong with having the wealth that this man had. There's nothing wrong in itself with having money and being rich. The problem is trusting in that money. The problem is having confidence in it. That's why the Bible says that we're not to be deceived by money. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17, Paul told Timothy, "Warn them or charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches." So don't get the big head. Don't be arrogant about it. Don't trust in your riches. And he also said that they are uncertain riches. In Proverbs chapter 23, verse 5, the Bible says that riches verily make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. So life ought to teach us that things don't always go as we plan them to go. In Proverbs chapter 27, verse 1, the Bible says, "Boast not yourself about tomorrow, because you do not know what a day may bring forth." In James chapter 4, verse 13, the Bible says, "Go to now, ye that say, 'Today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain,' because you don't know what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. You may do what you plan to do today or tomorrow, but you may get sick, or a loved one might get sick. War may break out in the country. The government might change everything. something worse can happen. An accident may occur. Death may occur and change all of those plans that you have. So the Bible says, be careful about that. Don't be arrogant about it, and don't take for granted the time that you have. So what this man thought was the first day of the rest of an easy life was actually the last day of a busy life. The Bible says in verse 20 that God said to him, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee." In other words, you're going to die this night. You see, this man thought that he was going to live for many years to come, but God said, "You're not going to live to see another day." Now, isn't that just like people? People make all these plans for the future. They say they're going to do this, and they're going to live beyond this point in their life, and these are their plans, these are their goals, these are their aspirations, and they leave God completely out of the picture. That's what happened to this man. And God said to him, "You're a fool, because this night you're going to die." And then God asked a very piercing question. God said, "Then who shall those things be which you have provided?" Who's going to get those things that you've accumulated? Where's your wealth going to go then? You're not going to have it. You're going to leave it behind. You're not going to be able to take any of it with you. And God said, "You're a fool for thinking this way." This man was a fool because he prepared to live, but he did not prepare to die. He put himself and his things and his enjoyment first, and he did not even acknowledge God. He was a fool because he thought that riches can guarantee happiness. He assumed that God was going to let him live. He was a fool because he forgot that he would leave all this to other people. He was a fool because he thought that what he had was actually his to begin with. And it was not. And what you and I say that we own or what we have is not really ours. God loans it to us. God allows us to use it for just a short time. But actually, God owns everything. And it makes all the difference in the world how you look at the things of this life. If you look at them and say, you know, all this belongs to God anyway, then you're going to have a completely different attitude about life than the man who says, "No, this is mine. I worked for it. I bought it. And it belongs to me." A man like that, that has a selfish attitude toward life, is like the man that we're talking about right here. And he's going to die, and somebody else is going to get it. Now, the Bible says in Luke chapter 12, verse 21, at the end of this story, that Jesus said, "So is he that lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." Anybody that is only thinking about himself, that is laying up treasure for himself. What does that mean? Well, that means a man that is working to make money and to buy things just for him and just for his enjoyment, who has that selfish kind of outlook. The Bible says he is just like this rich man in Luke chapter 12. And he says in Luke chapter 12, verse 21, "So is he that lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." We can try to be rich for ourselves, or we can dedicate our lives to being rich toward God. Which is first with us, folks? Which one of those means the most to you? Is it accumulating wealth in this life, or is it laying up treasure in heaven? Jesus said, "Do not lay up treasures upon earth, because there is where moth and rust do corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Remember, folks, as we close today, that God knows your heart. He sees into our minds. He knows what we're thinking. He knows where our love, and he knows what our priorities are. And we need to be honest with ourselves when it comes to this topic of money. Thank you for tuning in today. It's been a joy to study with you, and we want to wish you a great rest of the day.